You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian Voice of Brevard.
Baffled and bludgeoned. That's how our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, describes King David as he sat down to write Psalm 23. Welcome to Through the Bible. I'm Steve Schwetz. Welcome aboard the Bible bus as we set off for a wonderful series of Psalms. We're covering Psalm 23 and 24. Today's study of these beautiful songs of David is a great one, one that I know will encourage and bless you. So go ahead and grab your seat, find your place in God's Word, and while you do that, here's a quick letter from Natalia, who listens from her home in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. I first heard you on the radio while going to work. Since then, I've tried to listen daily. It's been more than a year since I've hopped aboard. I'm now a stay-at-home mom, so listening from the app gives me an opportunity to read and listen any time of the day. I thank God for this study, as it greatly helps me stay on track by going through each chapter and book of the Bible. I now not only read the Word, but through your teaching, I understand it. The most important lesson I've learned is that we are saved by faith, not works. I struggle living Romans 8 and have a hard time applying it to my life, but I'm trying. May our Heavenly Father bless you all. I'm so happy to be on the Bible bus making the trip together. Well, it's so great to hear from you, Natalia. Thanks for sharing what you're learning as we make our way through God's Word. And what are you learning as we journey through the Bible together? You know, we'd love to hear your story. It's simple. You can email us at BibleBus@ttb.org. You can also write to us by sending your note to Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109, or in Canada, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C, 6B1. And remember, you can also call and leave us a message anytime at 1-800-65-BIBLE. Let's pray as we begin. Heavenly Father, thank you that the Psalms help us clearly see Jesus as our Savior, as our Shepherd, and as our King. As we study today, Lord, help us to become a bit more like Him. In His name we pray. Amen. Now here's Dr. J. Vernon McGee with our study of Psalm 23 and 24 on Through the Bible.
Now today, friends, we come to this 23rd Psalm. And as we come to this Psalm, I want to repeat again what we said last time, and that is that Psalm 23, which is so popular, has been so wonderful, is meaningless without Psalm 22. And that leads me to say that we have a trilogy or a triptych here of three Psalms that actually belong together. They are the Shepherd Psalms, Psalm 22, Psalm 23, Psalm 24. Now, in Psalm 22, we saw the Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, you remember, made the statement, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd giveth his life for the sheep, John 10, verse 11. And we saw that last time. Now, Psalm 23 is the Great Shepherd, and we are told the Great Shepherd of the sheep. And this is found in Hebrews, the 13th chapter, verse 20. And this, of course, is that great benediction that is there at the end of Hebrews. And I'm sure many of you have heard it. And I know I've used it for years. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect. That is complete. In every work, to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, that's the Great Shepherd, and Psalm 23 reveals Him as the Great Shepherd. Now, we'll see next Psalm 24, and there He is the Chief Shepherd. And Peter says in 1 Peter 5:4, and when the Chief Shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. So that in Psalm 22, we see the cross. Psalm 23, the crook, the shepherd's crook. And Psalm 24, the crown, the king's crown. Psalm 22, he's the Savior. Psalm 23, he's the satisfier. Psalm 24, he's the sovereign. Psalm 22, he's the foundation. Psalm 23, he's the manifestation. Psalm 24, he is the expectation. And in Psalm 22, he's dying. Psalm 23, he's living. Psalm 24, he's coming. Psalm 22 speaks of the past. Psalm 23 of the present. Psalm 24 of the future. And Psalm 22, he gives his life for the sheep. Psalm 23, he gives his love to the sheep. And Psalm 24, he gives his light when he shall appear. Now, we have, therefore, in these three very wonderful psalms, a picture. Now, let's zero in on Psalm 23. And it's very familiar. It's probably the most familiar passage that there is in the Word of God. No portion in writing of any kind, anywhere, has been so widely circulated as this. The Jew, both Orthodox and Reformed, knows this psalm. The Christian, Huguenot, Covenanter, Vaudois, Cromwell, Puritan, and all the denominations and all Christian groups acquainted with Psalm 23. And the world has caught its beauty. More is written on this. It's very short. It's very simple. Only six verses. It's like the Gettysburg Address as far as brevity is concerned. There are several very interesting little mottos that go along, I think, with this psalm. Someone has said, I do not care how much a man says if he says it in a few words. Well, you have a few words in Psalm 23. And then there is another. If folk who do not have anything to say would refrain from saying it, it'd be a better world. And that probably is true. And there was a business executive years ago that had this little motto up on the wall in his office for everyone to see that entered. It says, if you have anything important to say, say it in 5 minutes. Well, it'll take you just 45 seconds to read the 23rd Psalm. It is simple. It's not the language of philosophy. It's not the language of theology. It's not a legal or a scientific document. It is sublimely simple and simply sublime. And there are, I think, two things that we ought to know about this psalm before we look at the text. It's agreed that David is the author. But the question has always been, did he write it when he was a shepherd boy or an aged king? And candidly, friends, it's important to know that. Dr. Frank Morgan has called this the Psalm of the Old Shepherd. I like that. I agree with it. David the king, you see, never forgot David the shepherd boy. And you have here not the musings of a green, inexperienced lad, but you have the mature deliberations of a ripe experience. You see, David, when he came close to the end of his life, he looked back upon his checkered career. He looked back upon his life, and it was then that he gave Psalm 23. And the old king on the throne remembered that shepherd boy and wrote this psalm. You see, life had beaten and battered and baffled and bludgeoned this man. He was a hardened soldier, a veteran who knew victory and privation and hardship. He knew song and shadow. He was tested and tried. And therefore, you have in this not the theorizings of immaturity, but you have the fruit and judgment born of a long life. And then here's something that is more vitally linked with the contents, I think, of the psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. By what authority do you say that? Is this a psalm for everybody, irrespective of individuals? I don't think so. I think that Psalm 22, 23, and 24 go together. And you have one story told here. And you have to know him as the good shepherd that gave his life for the sheep before you can know him as the great shepherd today. You must know the shepherd of Psalm 22 before you can say Psalm 23. And now, let's look at this psalm. I have attempted to divide it, and you'll notice in my notes, You have, first of all, in the first two verses, a revelation of the sanctuary of the shepherd's soul. And verses 3 and 4, the record of the thoughts of the shepherd's mind. And then 5 and 6, the reflection of the happiness and hope of the shepherd's heart. What a picture that you have here. Now let's look at that here for just a moment. You have here in verse 1, listen to this, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me. Now here is a he and me psalm again. The emphasis now, nothing between the man's soul and God. Now, the Lord is my shepherd. Now you have here in verse 1, a declaration and a deduction. The Lord is my shepherd. And it's one thing again to say the Lord is a shepherd. A lot of people can say that. Sounds good. This is a beautiful psalm. But today, can you actually say the Lord is my shepherd? And by the authority of his redemption, his death and resurrection, today we can say by faith we've trusted him and he's my shepherd. How wonderful that is. It's easy for somebody to say the Lord will be my shepherd. But David didn't say that the Lord is my shepherd. And you remember in John 10, when these Pharisees came and religious rulers and made their verbal attack upon him, he said, you believe not because you're not my sheep. I've said that to you already. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. And so that's another way he said that, and because he said that, I can say today the Lord is my shepherd, and not I have not wanted, but I shall not want. And so you have here in this verse, I shall not want. What is it I need? Well, I need safety. I'm a sheep. And a sheep is a stupid little animal. And I need safety. And therefore, he sees I won't want. He protects. And if a little sheep can say, well, I shall not want. If a little sheep says, I shall never perish, it's because he's got a wonderful shepherd. Was a little old sheep stupid. And a friend of mine who moved up into Oregon, and he had heard me talk about sheep a great deal. I used the illustration so much. So he decided to get several sheep. And he had me out for dinner when I was up there. And he took me out to show me the sheep. And he said, now look here, Dr. McGee, you gave me the impression that the little old sheep were sweet, little, nice little animals that were so helpless. He says, I want to tell you, they are the stubbornness, they are hard-headed. In fact, he says they are pig-headed. He said, it's terrible the way that they act. And he said, you know, they're dirty and filthy animals. I said, that's the human race, you know. They set us forth. What a picture they are. We need safety and we need sufficiency. And you notice what he says here in verse 2, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. That's safety. And we are told here that hungry sheep will not lie down. That means he's our sufficiency. And then there's satisfaction. He leadeth me beside still waters. Sheep don't like to drink turbulent or stagnant water. They don't want to drink where the hogs drink. Now, the human family today needs rest. Not so much physical or mental, but the rest of the soul. You remember what David said in Psalm 55:6? Oh, that I had the wings like a dove. He wanted to get away from it. What he's after, but that didn't help because he'd already found out by the advice of those. They said, why don't you get away from it? Why don't you fly away like a bird to your mountain? It won't solve your problems. And he found out that it's rest in the Lord. Wait patiently upon him. The Lord Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll rest you. Now we have in this psalm, in verses 3 and 4, we have a record of the shepherd's mind. That is, of the thoughts of the shepherd's mind. Listen to him here. He restoreth my soul. David knew what that was. David had sinned. He was that little lost sheep that got out from the fold. He restoreth my soul, and he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. But we must follow. You notice what he said. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. And that's the way you tell his sheep. You see, in that day, a shepherd never drove his sheep. The sheep followed him. That's not true in that land today. Every now and then, you'll see a shepherd ahead of his sheep, but very seldom. But in that day, he knew his sheep. He'd been with them day after day. They followed him. Now we have here in verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that's courage and comfort. Now, death is, I think, the supreme test of life. And he's not saying to wait till you got on your deathbed. The human family, the entire human family today, is in the shadow of death. It's a picture of a man when you're born. You start down a great canyon, and that canyon is the valley of the shadow of death, and you're constantly in it. Today, you know, they say here in Los Angeles that when you cross the street, you better move in a hurry because we only have the quick and the dead. If you're not quick, you'll be dead crossing the street. You're always in the shadow of death. Someone put it like this, the moment that gives you life begins to take it away from you. And so we're all of us in Death Valley. All of us are there, and the shadow of death on us. And though I walk through it, I'll fear no evil. That's the courage and comfort that he gives. And when of our loved ones die, well, we can always have what? We can have courage and comfort, if that one is a child of God. I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. And we can know that he's with us at all times and even at the time of death. For thou art with me. I want him with me when my time comes to die. Now will you notice thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And here will you notice this, rod and staff. A rod was for defense. A staff was for direction. And we had it put like this. Thy gentle reproof and severe rebuke. He does both today. He has a rod for our defense, but he has a staff for our direction, because these little old sheep are bound astray, and he has a staff for that. And they comfort me. I know this. I've learned this, friends. I'm getting up now to be an old man, and I look back on life, and I know this, that rod is a comfort. And he's used it on me several times. And I thank him for it because it's got me back into the fold. We need that. Then we come to the last of this. We have a reflection here of the happiness and hope of the shepherd's heart. Will you listen to this, verse 5? Thou preparest a table before me. We have here felicity and fruitfulness and fullness. All of that's undergirded with joy. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. What is that table today? I think it's the Lord's table, by the way. Back there, I think it was that God promised Israel physical blessings. Us, I think he's promised spiritual blessing. Now he says, thou anointest my head with oil. And that oil speaks of the Holy Spirit. We need that anointing today. We can't face life alone. And my cup runneth over. And that's joy. We need to be undergirded with joy today. He says, I've come that you might have life, have it more abundantly, and that your joy might be full. And like the little girl prayed, she said, Lord, fill up my cup. I can't hold very much, but I can run over a whole lot. We need Christians today that are running over. Then we have verse 6, all the way from the green pastures and still waters to the Father's house. He's our shepherd. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And he told me, he says, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I do, I'm going to come and receive you again. You know, sheep aren't much, and we're not pedigreed sheep, by the way, but we do have a wonderful shepherd. Can you say it today at this moment? The Lord is my shepherd. If you can, you can say the rest of it. If he is the shepherd that gave his life for the sheep, and he's your Savior, you can say this psalm. Now we come to Psalm 24. And Psalm 24 is the Psalm of the Crown. It's a very wonderful psalm, and I'm going to just hit a high point here. Actually, it is not arranged in our translation probably like it should be. Verses 1 and 2 are a chorus. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, the world and they who dwell therein. He hath founded it upon the seas, established it upon the floods. Now that's a chorus. Then next you have a solo, and all of this goes together. Now, tradition claims that this psalm was composed when the ark was brought up from Kirjath-Jearim to Mount Zion, and there's where David had set up a tabernacle and then prepared to build the temple in which the ark was placed. Now, it was sung, therefore, thinking an antiphonal way. You have, first of all, a chorus, these first two verses, then a solo, and then you have an answering solo in verse 4 and a chorus in verse 5 and 6. And then when you get to verse 7, why, they enter Zion, and I think that everybody joins in on that last. Must have been wonderful to have heard this, and we have here in this psalm the companions of the king who entered the kingdom, and then the coming of the king to set up his kingdom here upon this earth. That's the way this psalm divides itself. And will you notice very briefly, he says the earth is the Lord's. What a wonderful. Speaks of him again as the creator. This earth belongs to him, friends. It doesn't belong to the Democrats or the Republicans. It doesn't belong to the president, whoever he might be. It doesn't belong to communism. There's so many people today that want to run this earth. But it belongs to God, and he founded it upon the sea, established it upon the flood. And you'll remember back there on the third day that he separated the waters, he gathered the waters together, and the dry land appeared out of the waters, and it had been submerged. It was life out of death. Actually speaks of resurrection. Now you have this wonderful solo. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? Who's going to? Well, verse 4, he who hath clean hands, a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. May I say, that lets me out. I won't be there, friends, but I'm going to be there. You know why? Because I'm going to be there in Christ. He has undertaken to present me before the throne of his presence faultless. What a beautiful picture this is. Now listen to that chorus. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of salvation. This is the generation of them who seek him, who seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Now they entered Jerusalem. I think this is two pictures that you have here. This is a picture when he went back to heaven. This is a picture when he comes to earth again. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors. The King of glory shall come in. Well, now, who is he? The world doesn't know him. The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Open up the gates. Let's let him in. He's not in today. This is the world that's rejected him. Who is this King of glory? He's the Lord of hosts. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's King of kings and Lord of lords. And he's the King of glory, Selah. Think on that for a little while, friends. We're going to have to stop there today, but we'll move right on with Psalm 25 next time. Until then, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
You know, you can share this message with a friend or family member by directing them to ttb.org or calling us at 1-800-65-BIBLE and requesting a free pack of Bible bus passes to hand out to everyone that you meet. Each card's got a little QR code on the back that'll link them to the program and our website address. Again, you can reach us at 1-800-65-BIBLE or ttb.org. Now, in our next study, we're going to begin a new section in the Psalms. It's one that gives us details on David's personal experiences and then also a look at the future when God's remnant in Israel is in trouble. will discover that God is a very present help in times of trouble. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'm going to meet you right back here next time. So God bless you today as you walk with Him in His Word.
Jesus made it home. Unto Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
We're grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners, whom God uses to take the whole Word to the whole world.
Listening to WWBC, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Soon and very soon.
Lord. Glory to the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What a wonderful opportunity today to, wherever you are, to be in the presence of the Holy Spirit and hearing the unadulterated Word of God. We thank the Lord for your listening ears and everything that you're doing, members that are in the body of Christ, and even those that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. Your opportunity is still available as long as you have breath to breathe this air that God has allowed you to breathe. Praise God. We love you and we thank God for you. Well, today we want to talk about the kingdom of God. Many people at some point have forgotten that the kingdom of God. Jesus spoke about the kingdom of God. Apostle Paul spoke about the kingdom of God. And I'm speaking this morning, praise the Lord, about the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God is not just in word only. Now I want you to get a hold of what I'm talking about. It's not in just word only. The kingdom of God is in power. Glory to God. I said power. Praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The power. Glory to God. And I tell you, when we demonstrate this power, praise God, because first of all, Jesus has told us, glory to God, that the power resonates on the inside of us as children of God. My body, praise the Lord, and I want you to grab this before we go further into this message here this morning, is that the Bible tells us that our bodies are the temple of God. So if your body is the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells on the inside of you, praise God. Do you realize what I'm saying? The Spirit of God dwells or live on the inside of you. The Spirit of God is power. Praise God. And this is why we allow the Spirit of God to direct everything that we are doing. We submit ourselves to His leadership, praise God, because the Spirit of God is power in our lives. And when we pray for folks that are sick, who's on the inside of us becomes an external expression in power, not just in word, praise God, and bring forth deliverance or healing in the lives of the people. Praise God, because we don't depend on our ability or our strength. We depend on who is on the inside of us. Glory to God. I remember Jesus saying, well, it is not I, but it's the Father that does the work. Praise God. I'm saying here this morning that it's not me, but it's the Spirit of the living God that dwells on the inside of me. Praise God. When I pray for folks, lay hands on those that are sick, decrepit, whatever the problems may be, I want to tell you, I believe that the work is done. Glory to God. I said, I believe that the work is done, because the power of God, the kingdom of God, is on the inside of me. Praise God. Hallelujah. I remember when Jesus was casting out devils. Praise God. A lot of folks don't want to hear about devils, but I want to tell you, there's one devil, but there are a host of demonic spirits. So what happened is that Jesus was casting out devils, and what happened is that they couldn't believe, and they were saying that, well, he was casting out devils by the prince of the devils, Beelzebub. But I want to tell you, they blaspheme God. But I want to say this here this morning, that when Jesus spoke, he said, if I cast out demons or devils by the finger of God, glory to his wonderful name, that must mean that the kingdom of God has come nigh you, up upon you. Praise God. I want to tell you, the kingdom of God is power. It's not just words. And many people say, well, yeah, well, I believe in the kingdom of God. Well, demonstrate that power that's on the inside of you. Glory to God. Let it be demonstrated. Apostle Paul said, I didn't come to you with enticing words of man's wisdom, but I came in the demonstration, glory to God, of the Spirit and of power. You have the Spirit of God on the inside of you if you are born again. Glory to God. And I want to tell you, and your body is God's temple. Let there be a manifestation of external expression that will come from you, glory to God, on an outward deliverance and healing and whatever the Spirit wants to do, glory to God. It's an external expression because of the one that dwells on the inside of you. It is not you in the natural. It is the Spirit of God, glory to God, that is doing that work in and through you. Praise God. The kingdom of God. Hallelujah. You have, as a child of God, you have been moved from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. Glory to God. And you are now, as a born-again believer, you are in the kingdom of God. If you believe it and know who you are and by faith have received that, you are in the kingdom of God. Now, the word of God tells us that. You've been translated. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's where you are. And you're in a kingdom that resonate, that have power. I said power. Glory to God. And in that kingdom, there is a king. Glory to God. And his name is King Jesus. Glory to God. Somebody out there right now in radio land should be shouting that it's King Jesus. Glory to God. You're in his kingdom, the kingdom of his dear son. Praise the Lord. And in that kingdom, there's power. I said there's power. Praise God. It's not just a kingdom in just words, but it's a kingdom in power. Praise the name of our God. Minister Gloria, listen, you know, we're talking about the kingdom of God. And I tell you, this is what God wants us. See, the word of God tells us that before you do anything, he's given us instruction. Praise God. Minister Gloria, you want to read that verse of scripture there in Matthew? Praise God.
Matthew 6, but I like to read the 25th verse first. It says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink,
glory to God,
nor yet for your body. On is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you are in need of all these things. But you see, Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first. That's number one. Uno. The first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Praise God. Seek the kingdom first. And most folks, what they do is that they seek other things first before they seek the kingdom. But I want to tell you, whatever's going on in your life today, I want to tell you, seek the kingdom first. Praise God. Because there are many things that are operating in the and through the kingdom of God. And if we seek the kingdom first, as the word of God tells us, seek that kingdom first. And he said that he'll provide everything else. If I understand that scripture correctly, he says here to seek ye first, not second, nor third, but he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, or perhaps seek the kingdom and his righteousness, or the way that God does things. Praise God. This is what we need to do, is to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And he said, and all other things will be added unto you. That means that when I seek the kingdom of God first, God's going to take care of the rest. Praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
You see, because what we do is that we go around, we try to get everything else in order, and then say, well, now I've got all my ducks in a row, so now I'm going to seek the kingdom. But that's not what he said. He said, you do this first. Amen. You seek the kingdom first, the kingdom of God first, and then he says, and all these other things will be added unto you. Well, what are those things? My God, everything that was previously mentioned. He will add those things unto you. And not only that, give you a fruitful life. Praise God. Bless you abundantly. That's what he will do. Glory to God. Because we are depending on him and not on ourselves or our abilities in terms of what we are able to do. But I want to tell you, this kingdom that I'm speaking of, my God, is a kingdom of power. And there's so many places today, you know, there are folks that are sick inside the church. There are folks that need deliverance inside the fellowship. There are folks that need all kinds of problems inside the fellowship. And I want to tell you that that are in the body of Christ should know who we are in Christ, know what he has done for us on Calvary's cross, know that our body is God's temple and his spirit dwells on the inside of us. And I tell you, the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost should be demonstrated in our lives as children of God. My God, no wonder folks are leaving. They don't want to see all of this mundane and humdrum way of religion. They are looking for something. Glory to God. Hallelujah. They're looking for signs, my God. And what's happening is that all they're seeing is some old stale operation that's going on where God is not there. But I want to tell you, through the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, glory to God, we walk around, we declare that the Spirit of God dwells on the inside of us, then demonstrate. I want to say that again. Demonstrate this power. Praise God. Hallelujah. I said, demonstrate this power that's on the inside of you. Don't talk about the power, but demonstrate the power. Most of us go around and we say, well, yeah, the power is on the inside of me. Well, I want to tell you that Apostle Paul said that he didn't come with enticing words. We don't need to entice people. We need to demonstrate the power of the Spirit. Glory to God. I said, demonstrate the power of the Spirit. Glory to God. And if you have the Spirit of the living God on the inside of you, because that's where he would take up residence, your body would be his temple, and his Spirit is dwelling on the inside of you. Glory to God. And there will be a manifestation of an external expression. Glory to God. That's why when folks look at you, they see that there is something different about you. And when you pray for them, glory to God, they get bless, hallelujah, not because of what you're doing, but because of the one that dwells on the inside of you. Praise the name of God. You know, Apostle Paul was telling us that the same Spirit, hallelujah, are you listening to me out there in radio land? The same Spirit, hallelujah, that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells on the inside of you. I'm talking about resurrected power. Hallelujah. I'm talking about the glory of God. My Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The same Spirit that raised up Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in us. Glory to God. And I want to tell you, that power is the power of God. The power of God is on the inside of you. Everyone that is born again and washed in the blood of the Lamb, you have the power of God operating in your life. And this is why we need to stop talking about power. We need to stop talking about the kingdom of God and demonstrate this kingdom. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The word of God tells us that the kingdom of God is not just words. It is power. Hallelujah. I said power, glory to the name of our God, among many other things. Hallelujah. And this is why when we demonstrate this kingdom that's on the inside of us, hallelujah, I said this kingdom that is on the inside of us, glory to God, the kingdom of God, glory to God, Mensa Gloria.
Right, in Romans 14:17, it says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, anything fleshy, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost.
Ooh, Lord, have mercy. Say that again.
For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost.
Ooh, Lord, have mercy. The kingdom of God. Glory to the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. Oh, my goodness. You know, folks going around there talking about the kingdom. I tell you, we all speak about the kingdom. We tell people that we are in the kingdom of God. We tell people that the Spirit of God on the inside of us. We say these things. But I want to tell you today that folks out there, not only in radio land, but folks that are sitting in fellowship, that's why the congregation is dwindling down, because they are tired of talk. We are talking about something that we don't possess. We are talking about power that's not on the inside of us. Are you listening to what I'm saying out there in Radio Land? Folks want to see something. I said folks want to see something. They don't want to just hear words. And all of us are guilty of it. My God, when we lay down at the feet of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in prayer and allow his anointing and his power to be demonstrated in and through us, glory to God, folks will begin to see the signs, hallelujah, that there's a real power that's demonstrated in and through you. Glory to God. Many folks today are just looking at some old dead preacher in a dead church preaching a dead sermon. There's no life to it. But I want to tell you, this thing is supposed to, by the power of the living God, be demonstrated in our lives. I remember when I was growing up, folks used to say, Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Glory to God. He's on the inside and he's working on the outside. Oh, what a God that we serve. I'm telling you, it's power. And all of us, we should be praying, saying, Lord, help us that your presence and your power and your anointing and everything that you represent that have taken place in our lives should be demonstrated so that folks can see that you have truly, number one, have called us. That's the first thing, that he has called us. Because whom God has called, he demonstrates his power through them. Now, that's what the word of God says. Now, you can look at Matthew 10, and you can see when Jesus called his disciples together, and he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out. And he commanded them, so you go. He didn't say, pray for the sick. He said, you go and you heal the sick. That's what he said. Don't take no purse. Oh, my God. All of us depend totally upon me because I'm going to make way for you. Praise God. Hallelujah. But I tell you today that we are depending upon ourselves. We try to prepare a script. We try and do all of these things here instead of depending on the Holy Spirit. All of us are guilty. I said all of us are guilty. There aren't any that's exonerated from what I'm talking about. We all are guilty. But the time is coming. And it's now where we, as ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, will sit at the feet of the Master. Listen to his voice. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Listen to the voice of Jesus. And say, Master, glory to God, teach me more. Let your presence be manifested in and through me. Demonstrate your power. You are the king of this kingdom that I'm. My God, demonstrate your power through me. Praise God. And I tell you, many folks will see the signs. I said they will see the signs. Glory to God. Because that's what they're looking for. This is why people are running from one church to another. They're just hopping over from one church to another. They are looking for something. Glory to God. My Lord, they're looking for signs. They not only want to hear somebody saying, well, yeah, I got the power, but there's nothing demonstrated. I'm telling you, out there in Radio Land, we all are guilty. Let us lay at the feet of Jesus and allow the Holy Spirit to manifest himself in and through us. Glory to God, because you're in the kingdom of God. You're no longer in the kingdom of darkness. We know who we are. We are children of the Most High God. We have the power of God operating on the inside of us, but we must let it be a manifestation. Many people are claiming the power is on the inside of them. Well, demonstrate that power. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I said, demonstrate that power. My God, let that power be manifested through you. Praise God. It is not you that's doing the work. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. My body is the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells on the inside of me. Let the Spirit of God be manifested so that the work can be done. Glory to God. So folks can be healed. Folks are sitting in churches confused, oppressed of the devil. But I want to tell you, it shouldn't be that way. There is power in the name of Jesus. Let the power of the Holy Ghost be demonstrated in your life. Glory to God. And in those that come for prayer, those that need healing. You can't heal anyone. It's the healers on the inside of you. Glory to God. You can't set nobody free. It's the one on the inside that sets folks free. Glory to God. Through the truth of his word. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Mr. Gloria. Hallelujah. I thank the Lord for his power. Glory to God. I know who I am. And you should know who you are in the kingdom of God. The Spirit of the living God dwells on the inside of us. Glory to God. I remember Jesus was talking to the Pharisees. And he told them, he said, listen. The king, they're looking for a sign. They're looking for the kingdom. See, natural eyes looking for a natural kingdom. But Jesus told them, said, my God, he didn't say my God, but Jesus told them, said, listen, the kingdom of God does not come by way of observation. In other words, you don't see this thing. There's a demonstration of this kingdom. Hallelujah. What he said, that the kingdom of God does not come by way of observation, but the kingdom of God is in you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, when he said that, the Pharisees were looking for a natural kingdom, but there is no natural kingdom. This kingdom is not with observation. Praise God. And I still look at that verse of scripture where he told them that the kingdom of God is within you. And the kingdom of God is within all of us that are born again and washed in the blood of the Lamb. Because the word of God tells me that I've been translated. Glory to God. I'm in that kingdom and the kingdom is in me. Praise God. I said I'm in that kingdom. And that kingdom is on the inside of me. That kingdom is power. Praise God. Folks today are tired of just hearing lip service, organized sermons, all of this stuff that they do in their own ability instead of allowing the power of the Holy Ghost to be manifested in their lives. I say we all are guilty. Some folks go to the internet, get their sermons, and give to the church. But I want to tell you, we must depend on the one that is on the inside of us. And that's the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He dwells on the inside of us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Lay at the feet of Jesus. That's figurative language. Lay at his feet. Depend on him. And allow him to manifest himself in us. I tell you, we all are guilty. But today, after you've heard what I said, you can, you have the opportunity to allow the Lord Jesus Christ to manifest his presence in and through us. Praise God. I thank you all out there in Radio Land for listening. And just remember what the Word of God says. As a born-again believer, you have been translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. Until the next time, I pray for your safety and pray that you will hear the voice of God, because Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. God bless y'all. Until the next broadcast.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida, 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach.